It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're studying the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 30. We're going to begin reading with the 17th verse today. So please that you open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 30 and follow along as we read. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. Exodus chapter 30, verse 17. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal, and thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. And Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. And they go into the tabernacle to the congregation, they shall wash with water, that they die not, or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn offerings made by fire unto the Lord, so they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not, and it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his seed throughout their generations. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take thou also unto thee principal spices, and pure myrrh 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon a half so much, even 250 shekels, and of calamus 250 shekels, and of cassia 500 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of oil, olive, and hin. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary, and it shall be a holy anointing oil. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table, and all his vessels, and the candlestick, and his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offerings, with all his vessels, and the laver, and his foot. And thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever toucheth them shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, and that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. Thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, This shall be a holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall ye make any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whatsoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Take unto thee sweet spices, tacti, onycha, galbanum, these sweet spices, with pure frankincense, and of each shall there be a like weight, and thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. Thou shalt beat some of it very small, and put of it before the testimony of the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee. It shall be upon you most holy. And as for the perfume which thou shalt make, ye shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Whosoever shall make like unto that, to smell thereto, shall even be cut off from his people. That's the end of the chapter. I'm glad that we have had the opportunity to read God's precious word. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you today that we can come and enjoy this time. I praise you for it. I thank you that we can come and study your precious word as we look at the this brazen laver one more time, and then as we look at this sweet anointing oil and its purpose, please that you'll guide and lead us through the study today, that we'll know your perfect will, we'll learn from you today. Please, dear Lord, please touch the hearts of those that are lost. This program, the radio ministry that we have, dear Lord, you know its purpose. Its purpose is to bring lost folks to you. And its second purpose is to grow believers closer so that they're closer to you. And the third purpose is that there will be no one that's ever heard a part of this program that they will stand before you and say, I didn't know, because they will know. There'll be no time they'll have no excuse, is what I'm saying. So please, dear Lord, guide and lead us through your word today. And those that have not come to the cross of Calvary, bring them to the cross, the saving cross today, where your son Jesus died, that we can live, and then rose again so we can have life. Sins forgiven and life given to us. Wonderful, dear Lord. I thank you for that. Please guide and lead us through your word now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this wonderful study of the laver that we had last time we were together, we're going to look up some verses of Scripture here, and we're going to have a wonderful opportunity with it. What we need to recognize that this laver, we come into the courtyard, we come first to the altar. Nothing can take place, and we've talked about this and talked about this, but I cannot stress it enough to you, because you cannot please God. You cannot have one single sin forgiven unless you come to the cross of Calvary for that salvation, and this altar pictures that. And then once we're saved, once we're born again, and we come and so to speak, are on the other side of the cross, on the side of heaven towards the cross, of the cross, we're on the side of heaven when it comes to this altar, this brazen altar, and now we come to the brazen laver. Today, religion ignores the cross. Today, religion ignores the laver. Both are a requirement. Both are so necessary. Both, if you ignore the altar, the cross, you have no life, none. You're dead in your trespasses and sins. Come by faith to Jesus today. Then you're saved, but you will have no fellowship. You'll not have a sweet life with the Lord Jesus here and now unless you go to the laver. First, our sins are forgiven, and in God's eyes, as he looks down, he just sees the precious blood of Jesus. That's all he sees. He sees the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and of course, that's perfect and pure. And so that's what he sees in me. But when it comes to my old flesh and walking in this world, I get dirty. And so did the priests as they ministered. And before they could minister at the altar, brazen altar, they had to come and wash. They washed their feet and washed their hands. They got very dirty in offering these sacrifices and working around, and we've discussed it's got a dirt floor. There's a dirt floor underneath this the floor of the tabernacle. The tabernacle, holy place, and holy of holies, as well as the courtyard, all dirt. And you can imagine, and in working, you get dirty. Well, that's exactly what was happening here. They would get dirty, so they would need to wash. Well, when we walk in this sin-cursed earth, and we're around people that use the Lord's name in vain, they curse, they tell dirty jokes, they do all these things, it perverts our mind. And whatever we put in, whatever comes in, comes back out again. So the only way we can protect ourselves is be careful with what you put in. And so we need to have a good study of God's Word on a daily basis that allows good things to come in, to give us direction and strength of what to do each and every day. Well, no matter how much you study the Word of God, no matter how much you isolate yourself from this world, you're still going to get dirty. You were born in sin, and God's taken that sin away, but you still have the flesh. And so those still evil thoughts, all the maybe it's language problem, maybe it's something, some habit that you have that you just cannot get victory over. Maybe nobody knows about it, but God knows. And when you have that, it breaks your fellowship. So we need cleansing. We need the washing, and that's what this laver pictures, is the washing. And we're going to look up some verses of Scripture here to help you to see that today. Now, again, we're here in Exodus chapter 30, and we read the 17th verse, and that takes it to the 21st verse for this section. But let's go to John chapter 13. Some of this we made reference to last time we were together. John chapter 13, and we're going to read verses 3 through 10. And again, this is very necessary. It's somewhat of a review, but you need to understand. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God, he raiseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, doth thou wash my feet? And he answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter answered, said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus answered him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. That's all the way to the 13th verse, and really kind of ends at the 10th verse there. But what takes place in these verses of Scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching Peter that you are saved, you're born again. But because you get dirty, because you're in this old world, you are about the things of this world, so you pick up the filth of the world. And in order to stay in fellowship with me, you need this washing. Wash the dirt off. That's what he's telling Peter to do. And I'm here to show you to do that. It's important that you wash. Well, back in the Old Testament, all the way back in Exodus, you know, we're some 1,500 years before, the same principle was taught. And the same principle is true today. The washing is necessary. The washing by the Word. And again, John, 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, and the 9th verse. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hebrews 10:22, and we'll get on with the next lesson here, but Hebrews 10:22, it's so important that we confirm Scripture with Scripture. 10:22, let us draw near with a true heart to in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You know, when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God is it's a style of washing. God, we need to be cleansed. God cleanses us. God washes us. God has made us whole. He has made us clean through the cross of Calvary. That's the brazen altar. Now we come to the brazen laver, this washing. The altar is a one-time thing in our life because Jesus finished the work upon Calvary, upon Golgotha, the cross. When Jesus died, he died once, never to die again. The problem is we're still here. We're still in this old wicked earth and still in this old filthy world, and it's getting filthier by the day. So we need to go to the Word of God, not only to be fed, which is coming, but we also need to be clean. We need to be washed. And I gave you the example of my grandparents, of when I used to stay with them, and it was the demand that you wash before you come and eat. And it's really the same principle. You know, a lot of daily things that we do are principles that are taught out of the Word of God. There is no better textbook than the Word of God. If they would teach our students in school today from the Word of God, we wouldn't have the problems we have today. Instead of that, the world says no Bible. You can bring in anything else, any kind of other garbage, but no Bible. Well, the Bible has everything that we need. I wish that they would study it. You know, years ago, that was their reading book, was the Word of God. Oh, what a wonderful day that would have been and would be today if we would return to Him. Not only do we need salvation, but we need a constant daily cleaning. Now, in 1 John, here in Hebrews, this is not talking about salvation, being saved, having your sins forgiven. This is talking about fellowship. This is talking about a believer's life. Once you're saved, and the book of Hebrews and the book of 1 John is both written to believers. You need to understand that when you're studying the Word of God, you're studying the Bible. It has different time elements to it to start with, but it also we need to know it's speaking to the church, to believers. And if you understand that, then some of the things that are confusing to you will no longer be confusing, because you'll see that, hey, that's a reference to a believer. They're saved. They don't have to go back to the cross again, because once you come by faith to Jesus, you're saved. Then the walk begins. And also then the cleansing begins. Not only do we need to get some old stuff out of our life, but also we need to get in our lives. We need to see that as we walk day by day, that we wash day by day. We get dirty. We get filthy. And these things that you hear, things that you see, we've got to get cleaned back out so that we can have fellowship with the Holy God. And that comes with daily. So a couple strong things that the churches today have ignored. Number one, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They've ignored that. They also have ignored this washing. And so that's the reason that you see people come as they are and come and go, and you see all these other activities and things that's going on with the church, with the rock music and all the filth and the garbage that's walked right into the church. It's because the cleansing, the washing, has went away. Because when the washing comes and the scrubbing comes, people don't like that. That's the reason people stay away from the cross, because the cross offends them. That offends them, so they stay away from it. They still say they go to church. They still say they're a Christian, but they're not. If you're offended by the cross, if you're offended by the blood of Jesus Christ, then you're no believer. You're just playing church. You just as well go to some tavern or some country club or someplace else, because all you're doing is playing. And it's time to stop playing and get serious. You need to come by faith to Jesus Christ today and be saved. You need to begin this daily washing and daily cleansing. And many times through the day it took place. And so I hope that you see that today, and please understand that it is so needful to be cleansed, And we left off with the mirrors. Remember the mirrors. Where did the product come that they made this brazen laver from? It came from the women's mirrors. You know, when you look at yourself in the mirror, you see who you are. You see the blemishes. You see the things that aren't, you know, you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect. And you stand there and stare, you know, somebody that can stare at themselves in the mirror for hours on end's got a problem. If you look at that mirror and you says, boy, that's, you know, I need a haircut, I need a shave, you know, boy, my face is dirty. You see, you know, and hey, this isn't right and that isn't right. We've got so many imperfections and we need to be made whole. Well, when they come, the Word of God does the same thing, only it doesn't do it to the physical, to see yourself back. But when you go to the Word of God, you will see how dirty and filthy you are, how your mind, your heart, the things that you do, the things that you say. You know, some people say they've been saved for years. They still curse all the time. They're not saved. They're not saved. And you say, oh, Larry, you can't say that. Well, my friend, when you get born again and the Holy Spirit comes to live within you, you change. Now, it may take a period of time, but if we're looking for years down the line and that language is still a problem, then you're either not getting fed at all. You're in some liberal church that's not preaching the truth. You're someplace where you're not getting any kind of cleansing, because when you go to that wash, to this laver, and you go to the Word of God, and the Word of God shows you who you are, and you'll ask Him to forgive you of that, set you free from that burden, He will. I used to, years ago, had the worst temper. They used the worst language. And I've watched God deliver me from that years ago. Years ago. And He's delivered me from many other things. Many things. You go to that laver and you begin to wash, and He begins to show you what's not pleasing to Him, and He begins to take it away. You come back and wash again. But what happens is you wash one day and then you wait a week. Or you wait a month or you wait a year before you go back to Him. Because sometimes we don't like what we see. It's kind of like looking in that mirror. Well, isn't it a little ironic that it's the women's mirrors that was put into here, melted down and made, and I believe that this was polished brass. And so you look into that water and you see yourself. But it's more than just physical, outside appearance. It's inside. It's the heart. It's the mind that needs the cleaning. You got a brand new heart, but boy, I tell you what, there's a lot of filth can sit around it. We need that cleaning constantly. So please, that you remember those things and look to the Word of God. If you know, I hope that your church where you go, I hope they teach you the cleansing power of the Word of God, and your life is changing continually. I hope that that takes place. I hope that there's a patience that have been built into you, and there's strength into you and wisdom that you've gained from the Word of God, from not only washing but also then going on into feeding. But the feeding will never come until you've washed. You've got to wash your feet. You've got to wash your hands. You've got to be clean. You're clean all over, the Word of God said in John there, as Jesus said to Peter. You're already clean. You're just getting dirty through this old world as you walk through it. Just need to do a little cleaning. Your sins are taken away, but the fellowship breaks down. So please, come to Jesus. Now, we're going to look here quickly, as I spent a lot more time there than I intended to, but as we look now at the 22nd through this 38th verse, we have an anointing oil that is being prepared, and we have the several ingredients that's been put into it, the principal spices, pure myrrh, and that's a kind of a bitter taste to it, but it has a pretty nice smell to it. Then we have cinnamon next, as you're looking down through it here in verse 23. It has a sweet smell and kind of a pretty nice taste. And then this calamus next, and it tells us how much to put in there. This has a sweet scent. It's like it's a cane is what it is. And so that is placed in there. And then kesha. And this here is is really for medical purposes in looking it up, and they said it's a laxative, but it's put in there for its own purpose. And then this is, it says, after the shekel of the sanctuary and of oil, oil, olive, and hin, which would be about 6 quarts. And so they are they're preparing this, and they're preparing it for one purpose. Now let's look here in verse 25. Thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary, and it shall be an holy anointing oil. And so this apothecary. I quit once trying to do this. Apothecary is the practice of pharmaceuticals, of the pharmacy. So it's pharmacist, and that style, and that's the principle that they prepared this. There's a certain way to prepare it, and they use this principle to do that. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle and the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table and all his vessels, the candlestick and his vessels, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all his vessels, the laver and his foot, and thou shalt sanctify them that they may be most holy. Whatsoever toucheth them shall be holy. Now this anointing oil, there's a purpose in putting this oil. You know, God has set forth exactly the ingredients to use. He has set forth the exact amounts, and he also tells where to apply them. Now, there is, he puts forth this product, this anointing oil, but he's very careful to say that this is not to be put upon man's flesh, or it's not to be used. It has a sweet, sweet fragrance, but it is for the sole purpose of God. It's to show that it has been anointed, it has been set aside for God's use. And that sweet odor, that sweet fragrance that comes, is solely and completely for that use. It should be found nowhere else. Today we take many things. It could be the singing of hymns, it could be the Lord's Supper, it could be a lot of things that we take for granted. We have done it so much and we're so used to it. God never wants anything that he has set aside, he has anointed, he has put aside for his learning, for the church itself, should never become ordinary. It should never become common. To come and take the Lord's Supper, it should never be, oh, here we go again, we're taking the Lord's Supper. You know, sometimes, and some churches do it every week. Some do it more often than that. Some do it much less than that. God doesn't say how often. He just says as often as you do it. What can take place if you do it too often? It becomes old stuff. When you come into the house of God, you should be so excited to be here, because it's God's chosen place where his family, the church family, can come and be together. What a wonderful, wonderful opportunity that is. But what comes is, and that's the reason that we come in ordinary clothes and we don't think about, you know, it doesn't make any difference what you wear. You see, it's become a place of common. And it's not. It's not a place to be just commonplace to you. That's your house. That's your home. I don't care what you do there. You come into the house of God with reverence and with respect. God has given us his plan to have the house of God, his plan to come and meet together, and we need to come with great respect and don't treat it as something common. This anointing oil was the same way. He says, we don't want this to be something common, so no one else have it. That's what he's saying. I don't want anybody else to have this. So don't you put it on your body. If you're not a priest, if you're not one of Aaron's sons, the laver, the all the furnishings of the tabernacle, it's here for a purpose, to honor and praise the Lord. It's all for us to think about the Lord Jesus. Our Redeemer is a sweet-smelling savor. That's our Lord Jesus. That's the purpose of it. That was the purpose. Everything is to point us to Jesus. But please don't make him common. Don't make him ordinary. Because he is God. He is God. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?